B-Pod Studios.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the agent for Patriots quarterback Jared Stidham. It's Brian Murphy joining us now on the line. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to come on with us.
No, my pleasure. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Really?
What do you like about the show, Brian?
Do you really? You listen?
How come you don't sign us, then?
I love the signing. That's what it's done. I mean, how much money can I make off Ian Rappaport, you know? So it's much better off doing your guys' deals than his.
All right. So last Friday, there was a caller, Andrew Milton, who brought up the Ian Rappaport report on Jared Stidham and said maybe it was from the agent. The agent leaked it, that it was good PR. And you reached out Friday and said, well, we got to address that. So what is it about that that you would like to say or address?
Well, you guys got me in big trouble with my mom back home. You know, she's I wasn't listening to the show at the time, but my mom did call and say, hey, what are you doing, like being a sneaky agent and leaking all kinds of media stuff and, you know, using Ian Rappaport to deliver messages and whatnot. And why are you taking credit for being Jared Stidham's agent when his primary agent is actually my partner, Cameron Holland? So that call came out of the blue. So a couple of people sent me the clips and stuff like that. And so I thought I'd just call and say that, we've been working with Patriots clients for a long, long time, you know, all the way back to Scott's buddy, Drew Bledsoe. And,
You got Dave Dunn with you too, right?
Yeah, Dave's with us too. Drew was telling me stories yesterday about you bringing donuts to the training people.
Oh yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts box trick. Yes, yeah.
What was that?
Well, we've told that before on air.
You ever seen that Justin Timberlake like Saturday Night
in
Live
box,
skit?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was I had it 15 years ahead of him. So,
all right. So what is the what's the latest that you know on Jared Stidham? We know that he was at the hospital the other night, and is everything okay? What's his timeline for getting healthy?
Yeah, no. So, Mark, that was the reason I called. It's like, you know, we've been dealing with the Patriots for 20 years. I'm from back there, grew up in Medfield, Massachusetts, and been a huge Patriots fan back to when Scott was...
Yeah, 109, baby. 109. Yeah, 109.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But the one thing that we've learned very clearly over the last 20 years is, you know, it never helps, no offense, but it never helps to talk to the media about Patriots players or Patriots players' injuries or Patriots players' like performance or anything like that, because as you guys know better than I do, they love to keep all that in-house and they take care of it on their own. And you know, so we don't leak stuff to the media because that's just not the Patriots way. And, you know, we're respectful of every team. So it's a very boring answer for you guys, but we would never talk about that in the media or leak it to the media or anything like that. It's, they just handle it all in-house. And, you know, I'm sure everything will come to light, come to fruition over the next couple of weeks.
It was a little bit of a head-scratcher when they picked up Cam Newton to you guys. You know, because I know Jared had addressed it, and he said, hey, I'm excited to compete. Where were you? He said he was in Texas when he heard about this, and he's very excited about it. And, you know, I wasn't excited when we drafted Drew Bledsoe, because that means, you know, you're going to be relegated to backup if you want to be here. So you kind of got to know your positioning. But what was Jared's initial reaction and you guys' representation?
You know, I think it wasn't surprising at all, right? I mean, Coach Belichick and the Patriots have a long history of, you know, if they see someone out there who's, you know, who they can get for value, then they're going to go out and get it, and they're going to have as much competition as they possibly can. And I think, you know, Jared knew that coming into the season that he's going to have to compete for the starting job, and he's competed his whole life. And this is a kid who's been through all kinds of adversity and overcome all kinds of adversity, which is why I think the Patriots liked him and drafted one of the reasons they drafted in the first place. But, you know, he's excited. I mean, and you guys know, I mean, you do this as a radio show host, like, you know, the more great radio shows there are in Boston, the better your game becomes. And you want to compete. You want to be the best. So he was excited. He was excited to have a chance to prove himself.
So do you think that time is not on his side right now, given that it's a truncated training camp. Things are shortened up. There's no preseason games. It feels like he might be fighting time right now as Cam is healthy and he's out there and apparently over the weekend making some great impressions.
Yeah, you know what I'd say on that, and this is another boring answer, which you're not going to like, but, you know, I think that, you know, when you define time's not on his side and what's supposed to happen, what's going to come to fruition. I mean, Jared's a young kid. He was drafted last year, and he's going to have a, you know, phenomenal career ahead of him. And so I think, you know, time is very much on his side in terms of, you know, becoming who he wants to be. And whether that happens, you know, in the next couple of weeks or whatnot, remains to be seen. But yeah, he's going to be fine. No matter what happens, he's going to be fine. He's a fighter. He's a phenomenal quarterback. You guys seen his work ethic, and you know he's gonna have an opportunity to play no matter what. So it's we're very excited about his future. We're excited to see what he can do. And as you guys probably know, because you've done so much research, we have represented, you know, every starting quarterback for the New England Patriots for the last 27 years, except for one. So it's a big deal.
All right, let me give you a chance then to pump up Jarrett Stidham even more. Why should anyone consider Stidham more than your average fourth round draft pick who's a flyer and a project and you maybe hope for something to happen there? Because I feel like Jarrett Stidham over the last year since being here has been given a lot of credit and a lot of people have talked him up, but I don't think the results have really been there. And a lot of people have started to accuse, or I shouldn't say accuse, but a lot of people have started to talk about Stidham as the only reason anyone thinks he's any good is because Bill Belichick picked him. So why should we consider him more than just a fourth-round project?
Sure. I mean, Coach Belichick picking was not a bad start, right? But I think the thing is, and this is true about the Patriots and all the other NFL teams, like, you know, we don't see, the media doesn't see, the public doesn't see, we don't see what any of their players are doing on a daily basis. So when you say the results are there, I mean, that's really because none of us can see what's happening. You know, no one sees the work that goes in the offseason. No one sees the studying. No one sees the phone conversations they have. No one sees the work that he's doing. And so to answer your question, he's a sensational quarterback. I mean, anyone who's seen him throw the ball, he throws the ball the best of him. His accuracy is off the charts. He's overcome adversity his whole career, which is very important. He's a leader. People really gravitate towards him. And he has had phenomenal results. When you look at, for example, his last bowl game at Auburn, where, you know, they finally let him unleash it, and he just put up ridiculous numbers against Purdue. So he's got everything you possibly need, physically, mentally, and the intangibles to be a star NFL quarterback. And it just takes time. You know, it's very few people you know, come right out of college and make a huge impact, but he'll be a very, very good, if not sensational, starting quarterback in the NFL for a long time.
How much did he?
To me, sorry to interrupt you, Brian. Warner team. So,
how much did he take from Brady last year? What did he? What, you know, in your discussions with him, what did he take from Brady? You know, in classroom work and on the field work, and to maybe help further the injury. Has he dabbled in TB12 up there, sports therapy at all to help him get ready?
You know, what he took for time, like, it's not like they just spent one night together, right? And they spent an entire season. And Jared came out of college, you know, incredibly hard worker, studying the student of the game, you know. But Tom just takes that to a whole new level, right? Yeah. I mean, so I think almost any starting quarterback, I think the quarterbacks down in Tampa, the whole team down in Tampa is finding that now. And so what Tom did, Jared tried to, you know, mirror exactly. You know, he tried to, you know, put in the same hours. And it's not just the hours, but it's how you spend those hours, right?
Right.
And so he is really, I mean, I think last year being able to spend that time with Tom, not just Tom, also, you know, Josh McDaniels, who's another client of ours, and then Coach Belichick and all the offensive coaches, like, Jarrett learned a lot. It was like a phenomenal, quote-unquote, internship or apprenticeship, and I think that will really pay off, too. So, I mean, that's a great point.
Brian, should we say hi to your mom while you're on the line?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know who did that research, but that Ian Rappaport podcast was a different Brian Murphy. That's a Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press. So it's
he's bastards, huh?
I think that was Andrew Milton.
Andrew Milton. So yeah. Don't hire him to do your research for you. But
is your mom a good cook?
Yeah, please.
Different Brian Murphy.
No, my mom's not a good cook. No, unfortunately.
But
you've
got to admit. And by the way, I didn't believe that suggestion that it was somehow a leak or some sort of PR, because he was actually hurt. The quarterback is actually, Jarrett Stidham is dealing with something right now. But you've got to admit that agents do talk to the media off the record all the time.
They do. Yeah, they do. I do. You know,
yes,
I do
you have to.
Right.
You have
to. Part of the gig, isn't it?
Yep, it is part of the gig. But, you know, like, it is part of the gig, but I think what you guys know, like, we don't really worry. Jared doesn't really worry. None of our 170 clients worry about, or they shouldn't worry about what's being said in the media about them, right? Because, you know, Coach Belichick and Coach McDaniels, and they're going to choose a starting quarterback, not the media, not the public perception. And, you know, and it's hard because they're human beings, right? And I'm sure, especially the younger people, they all have Twitter and Instagram and whatnot. But at the same time, all they have to be worried about is what the people in the locker room think of them and the coaches think of them. And as you know, Patriots way, like, we have no idea what Coach Belichick is thinking. You know, we have no idea what Coach McDaniels is thinking. So, you know, it'll all come out in the wash and, you know, come to fruition. And like I said, Jerry's going to be fine. And what better place in Boston to be, you know, to be able to add some value to a football team, because it's, you know, it's exciting times, it's going to be an exciting season. So completely new with Tom gone. And, I'm sure we're all excited about it.
Well, the good news for your client, Jared Stidham, is that he was participating in 11-on-11s just a moment ago for the first time in a few days.
Got to get out there.
Yep. There you go.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, listen, Mark, I want to congratulate you on all your success, man. My brother went to UMass, and I know your whole story about you know, going to UMass and, like, kind of taking on yourself to get the job as a sophomore and calling all those plays and doing all that and getting to Boston right now and doing what you do. That's a pretty awesome story, and I am a big fan. So
you know a little too much, Brian. You know a little too much, my friend.
I like those people to know too much, you know?
Yeah. Well,
talk about doing your research.
No, yes. I hope that was you at UMass, you know, not some other.
That's me. We have the radio calls. We'll get them to you. Yeah.
No, I appreciate you guys. I love listening to your show, and I love Boston sports. You know, growing up there, I'm still a diehard fan. Wears my Patriots Super Bowl jersey to every Super Bowl, no matter what clients are in it and stuff like that. So it's it was funny. My mom was worried about me becoming a sneaky lying agent, and so I just wanted to call and set the record more for her.
You don't want to be a Rosenhaus.
And hello to your mom. Hello to your mom, and thank you for listening, watching, etc.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian. Thanks.
Thanks. Clarify. See you, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Brian Murphy from Athletes First.
Look at you.
Representation for Jared Stidham.
You got somebody. You're on the Athletes First radar.
How do you
dude?
Know all that stuff?
Do you know how much? You know how many clients they have? I mean, they got everybody.
I mean, he's talking about a part of a UMass story that I've never told.
Shoot, we should ask him where Earl Thomas is going.
Going from
he's got Earl too.
Wow. How about that? Brian Murphy.
Well, that turned quick.
This is my first day back in a while, but not like 3 years. What the hell's happened in the time I was away? 10 days.
I don't know.
You got too corporate on us, Jim. It's like Beetle getting all, you know.
So it was his mom that heard that
boy, he's that very concerned of the impression that we made a mom. Yeah.
We know how stuff happens with parents. Zoe's dad used to hear stuff, and we would 5 minutes later be like, whoa,
ears
going on?
Burning.
My dad, ears. Yeah, he would hear stuff.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you to Brian Murphy, Athletes First. They represent Jared Stidham. Let's get to some more on Patriots training camp. Your Bruins calls, I see you hanging on. Joey, Mike, we'll get to you coming up next. We'll do that. And Sosie at 11:35. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, hey, listen, Mark, I want to congratulate you on all your success, man. My brother went to UMass, and I know your whole story about you know, going to UMass and, like, kind of taking on yourself to get the job as a sophomore and calling all those plays and doing all that and getting to Boston right now and doing what you do. That's a pretty awesome story, and I am a big fan.
Ryan Murphy.
Murph. Good old Murph.
I hope he calls more often. Friend of the show now.
Yeah.
And hello to his mom.
Hello, mother.
How you doing?
Mm.
He Athletes First represents Earl Thomas. We dropped the ball.
I was going to ask it, and then we get back.
Why did you ask?
Because he started going on and on again there at the end of his mama. Yeah, we were getting late. Yeah,
Earl Thomas. You want anything to do with Earl Thomas?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No. Hard no. Pass. Sort of disgruntled at the end of his career. God, they just gave him $40 million basically a year ago.
$32 million
punched
guaranteed.
Punched a teammate in his face. Was politicking to go to the Cowboys once departing Seattle. Ends up in Baltimore. Got spun around by Chris Henry in the playoffs. Looked like a man running amongst boys. But Henry does that to a lot of guys.
Derrick Henry?
Excuse me, what did I say?
Chris Henry.
Jesus.
It's okay.
Another good one, though.
I know.
Yeah. But Derrick Henry, yeah. Yeah, the 6'5" running back, yeah.
Freak.
Would make a lot of guy look like a lot of guys look like that.
Yeah.
And Devin McCourty's your free safety.
Yeah, listen. They don't need him.
Yeah.
They don't need him, and he's end of his career. That's what Zoe said. That's what I'm sticking with.
Yeah.
He's
definitely at the end. They rebuilt that whole Seattle defense. Yeah, you know, start with him and Chancellor gone. Go ahead.
All right, couple calls here.
Yep.
Mike,
Mikey.
Hold on. I screwed this up.
It's okay.
There he is. Mike in Woburn. Mike.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, how we doing?
Hi.
Oh, living the dream. Listen, I heard people talking about, you know, how tough the Tampa team is, and they're tough. They're tougher than people give them credit for. Coleman and Gaudreau, the two guys that they added at the deadline, are physical players. They're on their third line with Cirelli, who is Bergeron light, and I don't say that as a disparaging comment. Like, Cirelli will be the gold standard for checking forward, you know, going forward in his career. He'll finally get some recognition. They also got Pat Maroon, a guy who skated in front of the Bruins bench last year for St. Louis and told them they were all effed. You know, so they've got some balls on that team. And I think that they need to shut this series down as soon as possible. They need to close these guys out in as few games as possible, because my nightmare scenario is that they beat Tampa and are chewed up in the process, so that a team like Philly can come and sweep them up, because they spend everything trying to get through Tampa. I see the Tampa series as being like the St. Louis series last year, where you have a real heavy, skilled, physical team that's going to take a chunk out of you. And they don't have them in the finals, and they won't have the problem that they had last year, where everybody was afraid to call a major because of what happened in the Sharks
right.
Night series. But you know, if what happens to Montreal, which was one of their best players, gets cross-checked in the face and he's out for, you know, surgery because it's a physical series, happens to the Bruins and they have to face Philly missing a major piece, it's going to be an issue.
So, okay, Mike. Appreciate the call. It leads to sort of this discussion of, if they get over the Tampa Bay Lightning hump, have they maybe had their toughest task in the conference? Feels like there's a good case to be made for that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
And as Mike's saying, get through them as quickly as you possibly can. If you want to win the series, you got to get it over quickly. You've got to put your best foot forward here early in the series to get it over with, because they can grind you down.
Yep. Yep, the longer the series goes, I think the longer it favors Tampa. No doubt about that. And we've seen the way these have gone. But the path of least resistance that we lived and existed in last year, that was great. Got you to the finals.
As you said, the longer the series goes, the better it is for Tampa. That's all based on the Bruins having one game one, right?
Yes, yes.
Like before the series, you're not saying that.
Knowing
you're saying,
right
okay,
now,
you know,
right.
It's going to might take the Bruins seven.
I'd
take the Bruins in seven here, you know, one of those situations.
Yeah, but they've been up 1-0 on them in series
it's
before.
It's weird. It feels like a big swing for one game in the first game of a series.
It's sort of deflating for Tampa.
It's just, I think we're all feeling good today the way the Bruins came out and played last night. I mean,
even a 3-2, I wasn't worried.
Joey's in Alabama. Joey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Joey.
Listen to you guys forever.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are better off with Halak than they are with Tuukka, because Tuukka, man, I just never trusted him. Always giving up goals in big games. I mean, he's great in the regular season, but when it comes down to postseason, man, like, he just gives up big goals, like stupid goals, too, like the Blackhawks series.
In Chicago. I always go back to Chicago. The Chicago series.
Yeah, that hurt, kills him. Man, I still think.
Game six, Chicago.
And how do you do that? At your own house, too. I mean, come on. You know, I just think we're better off without him. I loved him. He's great in the regular season. He reminds me like of a Peyton Manning. Great in the regular season. Coming to the postseason, nothing.
Well, Peyton Manning's got two rings. And so let's not go too far overboard on the Peyton Manning comparison. I would say that you're still better off with Tuca.
I think Tuca's the better goalie.
But Halak's playing well right now.
Halak's 4-1 as your goalie in the playoffs right now, and that's a damn good record. He's good enough right now. Two games ago, we're sitting in here, callers are ripping him for letting two softies in.
To quote Michael Felger, you got to ride the hot guy. That's what he likes to say.
They do that in Nantucket.
Andrew in Milton on the line on Brian Murphy. Andrew.
Hey, guys.
You had Brian Murphy fired up with your theory, bud.
Yeah.
I'm not letting this one go. Look, this guy trying to say that my information's wrong.
Yes, that dude, is exactly right. That is what he said.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. One, the fact that he felt the need to call in and defend himself.
Well, his mom was pissed.
That's a great look for Jared Stidham. Yeah, his mom's pissed. Whatever. Who cares about that? I don't think that's a great look. Two, sorry, I'm out of breath. I'm walking my dog.
What kind of dog you got?
I got a yellow lab.
Nice.
All you got to do is you just got to Google Brian Murphy, Ian Rappaport. Going back to 2017.
Yeah, it's a different Brian. Did you hear him address that?
No, it's not. Yeah, he's wrong. He's wrong. It's from agent. It's from the athletes first. He lied. It says in Ian Rappaport's articles, Brian Murphy from athletes first.
So he quoted him in his story.
So Ian is tied in with one of the most popular agents, as he is with all of them. I mean,
no, all I mean to say is for Brian Murphy to come out and say that I got the wrong Brian Murphy. No, I didn't. Every time Ian Rappaport quotes Brian Murphy, it's athletes first.
There was a podcast with the two?
Yeah, there was, and that one was wrong.
That's what he corrected.
Podcast.
Oh, right. In his defense, he said, I was not the guy on that. You mentioned the podcast. All he said today was, I was not the guy on the podcast, and it was a different Brian Murphy. But he also, at the end, I don't know if you caught the end, I said, but you've got to admit that agents talk to reporters and media all the time.
Absolutely.
And he said, yes.
I like that, Beto. So and I will did. Say, I don't love Brian Murphy after that call. I don't think it was a great. I don't think it was a great look for Jared Stidham. Yeah.
This is what I don't understand about your theory. Why would they need to leak anything about Stidham when he's obviously clearly hurt? He's now missed like 3 days of practice, and he just is making his way back in. They're like easing him back in today, and all the coaches talked about it on the record that he's hurt. But that
I just didn't really believe it. I think he was throwing picks and.
Okay, something happened there with your phone. I love a good conspiracy theory. There's no need for any conspiracy here.
Right.
He's hurt. He got hurt. He's, you know, they sent him to Mass General to get testing.
Oh, I think he's worried too. This relationship with the Patriots. You get out there and stories start getting out there that I'm putting stories out to writers, that would piss Bill off. And I have a really good relationship with Bill and would continue that. So let's just clarify some things here. And talk about the injury. We have no clue what part of the body, whether it's the hip.
No,
the
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, he'll be back. But obviously their actions on the field indicate they do know he's hurt.
Yes. Yeah, you're held out of drills. Yes, you were hurt. Yes.
Because now the fact that he's being held out, he's losing the job. So there's no benefit whatsoever.
No.
To not being out on the
critical
field.
Reps. There's no games.
Yeah, no, he's losing.
I said it last week when I talked to you guys and, you know, coming off from camp, like every rep is critical.
He's been losing the reps for 3 straight days.
Yeah. It's a lot easier for a coach to divvy up reps between two guys competing as it is opposed to three.
All right. We got Christian Arcan with us today. He's got your headlines, get you caught up on things. We'll talk to Bob Soucy from training camp, and he'll tell us what he saw from Stidham, Cam Newton, et cetera, next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
The only one who could ever reach me was
the son of a handyman.
The only boy who could ever teach me.
The son of a handyman.
Who can take a sunrise? Sprinkle it with you.
Sprinkle it with you.
The handyman.
The handyman.
Ooh, the handyman. The son of a handyman. The son of a handyman.
We're waiting on Bob Sosi. Doing our best to track him down. He must be busy. Tied up with something at the moment.
So much going on down here.
There is. I mean, camp is still going on. You saw it the other day.
Yeah.
How was your broadcast over the weekend? I missed it.
It was neat. Like I said, the mic'd up stuff's great. You know, in the drills, you get Bill talking about goal line, Mayo, you know, one-on-one instruction, Belichick.
I'm pissed that I missed it, by the way.
About Steve.
Are they rerunning it? Do we know at any
point?
It's
on Patriots.com.
Oh, it is in its entirety?
Should be, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I'll go watch it there then.
Yeah.
I remembered it like 8:30 on Saturday. I was like, oh, the thing was on. The thing.
Yeah.
The thing.
7 o'clock, yep.
With the hour thingy.
It's perfect. Just got out of the pool and just in time for it. Bang. Let's go watch it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll catch up on that.
Yeah.
For sure. We're still looking for Sosa.
We'll find him.
All right. Other things.
He might be still watching practice. I just read a tweet here. Stidham just threw his first 11-on-11 pass since last Thursday.
Okay. So,
complete, incomplete.
Brian Murphy's in his office listening right now. Like, yes. Yeah, man. Let's go, Stid. Let's have at it.
Got his Pats jersey on.
Let's talk about the kicking situation quickly.
Yeah.
Before we're waiting on Bob. Rohrwasser was a problem on day one. He apparently was a problem yesterday as well. But that didn't matter because they were already working on bringing Nick Folk in, who they officially signed today.
Oh, boy.
How's that make you feel about the kicking situation?
Not great.
They spent a draft pick on this kid.
Spent a draft pick on him. Moved on from Steve Gostkowski, who I talked about last week. Has interest from two teams. He told no, and he's healthy and wants to kick. Feels great.
So he wants to kick and feels great.
Yep.
The insinuation, I believe you're making there is he's waiting for the Patriots.
No,
to
I'm not.
Team.
I'm not making not. That. Okay. I think he's waiting on a certain team to call. And
one particular team, and it's not the Patriots.
Yeah, and it's not for rooting. It's just I think it's for geographical interest. Yes.
Oh, that means
he's not here anymore. Yeah, they moved.
Oh, he left.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So he's not waiting around for the Patriots to call. No. He sold his house. He's gone.
Gone.
Oh wow. Well,
does still have his beach house though, so it's nice. Comes back here in the summer. Got a lot of friends back here.
Is his full-time residence?
Don't forget, I mean, they've been here 14, 15 years. So
you went to Memphis, right?
Yes.
Is that where he lives in the offseason?
Probably in Tennessee now. Yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
As in Mike Vrabel and company. What's their kicking situation?
It's okay.
Who is it? Is it Suck Up still? Who's the kicker there? Oh, God.
I can't recall. That's not great, but I think Steve's a better kicker.
Without even knowing who it is?
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to pull up the depth chart and see who their kicker is now. Who's their kicker? Greg Joseph. Mm. Greg Joseph is the kicker. Extra points last year. Oh, he's new, though.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then.
Not a known commodity.
No.
Yeah, but
no, he's young. He's last year. What did he have last year? 9 points total. Okay, yeah. He didn't have much. He didn't do a lot of work last year. All right, so that's interesting. Good to know. Not waiting on the Patriots. But what's to say about Rohrwasser if they need to bring in Nick Folk right away?
Oh, it's hurt.
Do you think it's injury?
I think it's an injury thing.
Do you think it's injury or he's got the yips because he's new to the NFL?
I was down there. I didn't see them working any kicking with him. No, those guys work continually around the clock. We're down there. It's always Steve and
there's only been two practices that he's kicked in, the first one and then yesterday, yep. And he was a shankopotamus in both of them.
Well, anybody that's worked that has been down there prior, you always know that, whether it was Ryan Allen or, it's Joe Cardona, obviously the snapper that's been with Steve for all those years, you would always go on the other field and work on stuff. You know, I just didn't see that. I didn't see them working any kicking whatsoever. So I think it could be an injury issue with him. I don't know that. And obviously, I think you hold him out. You don't kick for as many days. There's something going on there, right? This isn't a confidence thing. Hey, let's hide him. If anything, you got to get him out there to kick to make him work through it. It's like, you get the yips in golf.
How do you get hurt?
How do any of these guys get hurt? You know what it is? It's not having off season, man. Wait till week three. And you see the amount of people that are going to be going down and popping things. You're going to see Achilles. You're going to see knees. You're going to see hamstrings. You know, like my man Ted Johnson, who I'll be with tomorrow. Ripping biceps because you're not used to hitting. You're not used to working out a certain way. I think N'Keal Harry's going through what he's going through. What about Stidham? Yeah, maybe you don't have the same type of drops now all of a sudden that you're dropping back and, ooh, you kind of tweak something or pull something. Pasternak coming back to the bubble. Not ready to go, right? This stoppage has killed people, man. This is literally, you know, you're a professional athlete. You could get out there and you could ride your cycle in your house as much as you want. You could go, you see, hey, Jim, remember how giddy you were? Ooh, look at Mohamed Sanu with the bands and he's running uphill and he's catching the ball. I'm like, yeah, versus air. My first response, does he separate?
Yeah, but there's something to be said for that work ethic that he had in the offseason, isn't
there?
That's
good, yeah. But a lot of you don't think all these guys work out or have their personal coaches. You know, like Brady did it. Brady probably did the same thing he's been doing for 20 years. Knows how to, that build up to get there. Maybe Stidham didn't know it.
Yeah, but you know there are players that just don't do it.
What did we talk about Cam prior to this?
Right or wrong?
Yes.
You knew players.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You knew the players that liked to do the work in the offseason, the ones who didn't.
What's the only thing we had to go off Cam? All his videos of him working out like a nut, right? That guy looks ready.
Shows work ethic.
Looks ready. Shows up every day. Yeah, first one in. Reese had the stuff over the weekend, little tidbits, Reese's pieces. You know, just little spots, hits from training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck trying to beat Cam Newton in the building. You better get in there before 5:30, 6 o'clock, because if you don't, you're not going to beat him in. And it's the same energy all around. That's what you like from that player.
By the way, Cam Newton had a fumble in practice, and he ran a lap. Punishment lap. Just moments ago.
Yeah, Brady's done it.
Chase Winovich forced a fumble. Got in there.
Forced a fumble. Okay, so that tells me, and, you know, people have been critical of Cam before about ball placement, right? Mm-hmm. A little sloppy with it.
Yeah.
Ball on the ground, you're going to jump on it, this and that. So that's not a center exchange. Normally you run on center exchanges. So if you're not protecting the football or they see something, they're going to make you run. So next time you protect it more. So that tells me they're working on that type of stuff with him, which is good, right? We got to eliminate turnovers. Best thing about Cam here in the early part of camp, he's the one with the minimal amount of turnovers. It was Stidham throwing to what, 5 picks in 3 days last week? Or 7, whatever the hell the number was.
Yep.
So I guess Cam had a pick today, too. That's what Jim said, but I don't know. I don't know where he got that.
All right, 617-779-0985. We'll try and track down Bob, we assume.
Messages are out there.
Okay, why don't we plan on Bob for like noontime then? We'll see if we can get him for noon. I want to talk about the Celtics coming up next.
Oh, the team that's going to the finals?
I want to talk about the Celtics. I want to talk about the Sixers, and I want to talk about their head coach, who apparently is fired today. Is that true?
Yeah, they're moving on. 7 seasons.
How have we not heard from Arcand yet today, by
the way? Not fired yet. Not fired yet.
This has been the quietest day ever for you.
I know. I feel weird back. I haven't been back yet.
I love it when the Sixers collapse, because Mike Lombardi, buddy of mine.
I don't know how we've got an hour and 47 minutes.
Massive Sixers fan.
Hour and 47 minutes. We haven't heard anything from Arcand.
Yeah.
I haven't berated a caller or anything.
Nothing.
Well, they're going to the finals.
All right. Well, let's talk about all that. And hopefully we'll be talking to Bob Soucy soon as well. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Don't sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
6.5 to go. Inbound comes to Joel Embiid. Embiid will launch a three and make it, making it a 4-point game. The inbound to Marcus Smart. The clock hits triple zeros. The Boston Celtics, for the second consecutive year, are the first team to advance to round two of the playoffs. Kemba Walker's 7-year wait is over. But in writing the latest chapter of this rivalry story, did the Celtics just end the Sixers process story? It's a 4-game sweep. The final score, Boston 110, Philadelphia 106.
Sean Graney with the call of the Celtics sweeping the 76ers right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. What'd I tell you? Why did I tell you about the 76ers?
You asked me at the beginning of this series, are you excited for this one? I said, yes, because everybody blows smoke up the Sixers' rear because they're young, they're athletic, they're acquiring all this talent. Then Ben Simmons goes down with the knee. But yet you thought there was the potential that this series could get a little chippy because these two teams don't like each other.
I thought the Sixers were going to win a couple of games.
I thought they would at least win one. And then after the second game, I'm not surprised the Celtics sweat because I think this team is out of shape for as much as they run. They don't play as a team. They're built around Joel Embiid, and Embiid at times tries to carry him. So for the first three quarters and a half, Embiid's into it, right? And then the last half of the fourth quarter, it's hands on the knees, sweating, bent over, like holding my head on the bench, like, could you be any more gassed at the end of a game?
They were done.
And you get nothing from the coach.
Lifeless.
You get nothing from Brown.
Quit and go home. We're down 2-0. That's it. Let's just go home.
And I just kept seeing
the
killer instinct from Kemba at the end of the fourth quarter.
Do you want to hear the inspirational speech that Brett Brown gave before game three? Because this should have told you right then and there if you saw this. Oh, this team's done. This team has no life. The coach has no life.
Right.
He's trying to convince his players that one win would really change things for them. And again, I thought they'd be more competitive. I thought they'd be a little bit more aggressive. I thought they might even try to get in the Celtics' heads by, you know, getting a little dirty out there. Because there was a little bit of hate between these teams. We didn't really get any of that, did we?
Nothing.
Did we see that?
No.
You ready for Brett Brown?
Sure.
Do we have Brett Brown loaded up?
As soon as the blue circle goes away on my computer, yes.
I'll get that blue circle.
What is the blue circle?
Jim's getting verified right now. And it turns into a check mark.
The login circle? Is that what we're talking about? Like logging into Windows?
When you click on a thing and it just goes, it's just like buffering, buffering, buffering.
That's like the DJ Alexi.
Computers are ruining our lives.
I got it. Tom saved it somewhere else for me.
Ruining our lives.
I save it in another file for you.
I'll put it somewhere else for you.
T-Blitz.
Go Bruins.
Play it.
All right.
One win changes everything. You think differently, you see differently, you gain hope. You go back and you see, you know, Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain. And then fast forward another two decades and you see Larry Bird and Doc. Philadelphia 76ers playing the Boston Celtics. That means something. And so everybody, lock in. We're going to win tonight. Know the game plan. Know what we're on about. Lock in.
Yeah! Let's go get him! Why, yeah!
Not we need to win defensively. You know, at the top of the key, I need you guys to stiffen up. Then when that ball goes to the middle, we're going to back down. We're going to get on him, and we're going to do this. Then we're going to run.
Show me some life, Brett. Show me some GD life.
I'm going to mention history and hope.
Your game plan is hope.
What a tool bag.
Yeah, Bill Russell, Wilt.
Larry Bird.
Dr. J. Efficient Save Pittsburgh.
I love that movie.
I want you to grab the throats of the Celtics the way Bird and Dr. J grabbed each other. I want you to do it. I'm more excited and showing more life than Brett Brown ever did.
Was that like that Kevin Millar? Oh my God. Don't let us
is
win
that,
one.
Is that the most horrible pregame speech when you are like need desperation win ever?
It's usually that. It reminded me of Andy Dalton. Yeah.
It means something, guys.
Yeah.
It's Celtics and Sixers, guys.
There's nothing worse in sports than when you have a guy at the leadership position and he can't light up a room when he walks in.
God.
There's nothing worse than it.
He has to get fired, by the way.
That tells me the team runs the team, not him.
We've been ripping Brett Brown on this show for years. He's got to go. And there's talks today in Philly that they're finally going to fire him.
Thank God.
I'm not sure I would have let him fly home with the team. I'd be like, nah, we're good.
You know what? Yeah. We're
good. Philadelphia 76ers playing the Boston Celtics. That means something. And so everybody, lock in.
Right,
we're
going
to win tonight.
Lock in.
Know the game plan. Know what we're on about. Lock in.
Yeah. Boom. The sound effect was more lively than anything in that speech.
Come on, guys.
Is Brad Stevens that much better than him? Like, Jesus.
Maybe not.
No, but I'm saying... Brad would pick the five things that we need to do to win tonight.
But the content of the speech has to be better than that.
He's trying to be motivational. Brad Stevens doesn't try to be motivational.
No.
He just says, we do this, we win. It's matter of fact. Like, yep. It's with authority. Brett Brown's trying to be Mr. Motivation Guy, and he's terrible at it.
Even after the game last night, Stevens, 4-0, it's not good enough yet. We're not there. We're not there yet. We still got to play better. It's not good enough. Like, the demanding part of it. Like, but there's a consistency to it. Not, hey, guys, just, you know, you win one, it gives you hope. Reminds me of Brendan Moore from Carolina. I just try and put together a good team. It's competitive each and every time. You know, we try and make a team that you like, that you want to root for, and you're never going to win it. But, man, we'll be there, and we'll play hard. They just gas. They're out of shape. They have no function. Even when the game's tight at the end of the game, is he calling timeout to run something? Or does he see his team's heart? Like, you got the timeouts. You can't take it with you. Stop the game. You let your guy, let your big guy, the only one that gives you a chance. Give me another starter in Philly, Mr. Basketball over there, Hoophead, Christian Arcan. There would be a starter other than Joel Embiid on another playoff team.
Al Horford.
Al Horford would be a starter?
No, he wouldn't. That was a joke. Tobias Harris, maybe, but that's it.
That's what Jim said earlier, too. That's about it.
Bad team.
Like, do we give them too much credit for being what they are? That this team was on this big upswing and this rebuild?
No, they were the sixth seed. Everyone talks about them like they were supposed to be this big competitive team in the Eastern Conference. They were the sixth seed all season long with Ben Simmons. They never were that good this year. And the only reason why anybody thought they'd beat the Celtics is because they beat them in the regular season. But without Simmons, that wasn't happening. I thought they'd win a game or two, too. But after game two, this series was OVA.
OVA. OVA.
Yeah, because of this team quitting, which is a thing that, you know, a lot of teams are going to do. In this situation, the bubble adds a new element to things. But after two games, it was obvious the series was over.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Sixers had a one-point lead at halftime, right? It's 58-57, I think.
Yep.
At halftime yesterday. And all I could think was, oh, the Celtics have them right where they want them. Going to kick their
believing.
Ass in the second half. Yeah. Have them believing. Celtics have them right where they want them. This series is over. This one's done. As it was. Sosi, did we hear from him yet?
I don't know. Maybe his phone was in the back seat this morning when his dog had an issue.
So
I don't know.
So the dog pooped
in the
back seat.
So the dog took a crap in his car. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I could just see him exploding. You got kids and a dog in a car, and the dog takes a crap in the car.
We have voicemails, multiple calls, text messages.
He hates us.
Hope he's okay.
I mean, he's watching a great practice by all accounts. Cam Newton and N'Keal Harry are lighting it up at practice right
now. Shut up.
Oh!
Or according to the tweets that are coming out, yeah.
Who?
Everyone.
In the red zone.
Need to be there. So we got to get there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stand by for Bob Sosi. Maybe he's just going to call us after the practice. Was there
I mean, maybe he literally listens to the directions when it says, like, you can't use your phone during the practice. Maybe he shuts it off and puts it away. I don't know.
That would be him.
That would be his style.
Everyone else is tweeting, though. So I don't know.
Okay. All right. Your calls on the Bruins in their series. Your calls on the Celtics wrapping up their series with the 76ers. Celtics do look very locked in right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.